Please turn with me here tonight to Romans chapter 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just want to read one verse from each of these chapters. We're dealing in this series how to store up your treasures in heaven. And this is part 8 of this series on storing up treasures in heaven, or how do we store up treasures in heaven. Such a vital series, I believe. This has deeply impacted me, it's deeply affected Candace, and I hope and pray that each one of us, that we can say this has searched our heart, it has made us to stop and to look carefully at our words, our actions, our money, our possessions, everything that we get, everything that we will have, how we use our car, how we use our time, how we use all these things, since time is passing very fast. Time is going to be over very, very quickly. And I assure you, time is nothing in comparison to eternity. My message here tonight is we just start to come down to the end of this series and we haven't said everything that needs to be said. I feel like I've hardly begun on this, and yet it makes us to begin to consider these things. My message tonight, the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Reading from Romans 14 and verse 10. And it says there, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then reading in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're dealing here tonight with the judgment seat of Christ in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, and in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, this simple phrase is used by the Apostle Paul, the judgment seat of Christ. Now this word judgment seat is one word in the Greek, two words in the English. But it's only one word in the Greek language, and it's a simple word, and it's a short word. This English term, judgment seat, in the Greek is the word bema. It's one word, one simple word with four letters, bema. So we can actually call this the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema seat of Christ. The bema of Christ. And this is what I want to preach to you tonight, because it is everything to do with storing up treasures in heaven. Everything Amen. Is going to come down to this time. Since the judgment seat of Christ is when time meets eternity. It is a divine appointment which every real Christian is going to keep. The judgment seat of Christ, no Christian will be absent from. Every Christian, young and old, saved a short time or saved a long time, whether you've done very little or very much, whether you've given everything to God or you wasted an awful lot on the earth, you are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember through our entire series, we preached on lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. That's where they get wasted, they get lost, they get used. But they come to nothing. If you store your treasures up on the earth, if you use your money, your possessions, your house, your car, everything that you get, your clothes, if you use it for yourself, for pride, for selfishness, for your own benefits, for your own comfort, it's gone, it's finished, it's lost. You will never see it again. You've wasted it. It's going to perish. And saints, I do not want that for you or me or this church. But Christ also said, lay up for yourselves. Since we are to think about ourselves, We are to think about the future. We are to lay up for ourselves. But if you're very wise, you won't lay up for yourselves here on the earth. You'll lay up for yourself in eternity, in heaven, for a time to come. You won't want to use it now. You won't want to see your treasure now. You won't waste your treasure now. Your treasure won't be stored on the earth. If you're very wise, you'll be storing and gathering up all of your treasures of what is most precious to you. You will be sending it ahead to the future. You will be transferring it from time into eternity, from the seen into the invisible, from the realm of man into the realm of God. If you're wise, you're actually not storing up on the earth, but you're storing up in heaven above. Can I tell you tonight, there's two births. There's two lives to be lived. There's two deaths to be faced. There's two different kinds of judgment. And there's two eternal destinies. You're going to follow one route or the other route, but there are two different judgments. There's two births. You're born naturally, then you're to be born spiritually. There's two deaths. You die naturally, then you're going to die spiritually, eternally. There's two different types of death. There's two eternal destinies, either in hell or in heaven. There's two different judgments, and I am going to deal with them tonight, here in this gathering. You see, the word judgment or judgment seat is used at different times in the Bible. The first type of judgment seat is the Greek word thronos, not bema, thronos. We read of this Greek word thronos, or the thronos judgment seat, in Matthew 27. And we read there of Pilate, who actually was sitting in judgment of Jesus Christ. And it says in Matthew 27 that Pilate sat down on the judgment seat. Now this Greek word for thronos is a legal throne of judgment. It is a throne of punishment. It's a court. It's where those who have broken the law come to the thronos, or the judgment seat. You come there if you're guilty, if you've broken the law, if you've broken the commands, if you've disobeyed the law of the land. You get brought to the judgment seat, or the thronos. And it's there that you're going to get judged, you're going to get punished, and it is spoken how you're going to get dealt with. Do you realize this thronos, although it was in every town and city of the first century, it was in Corinth, it was in Ephesus, it was in Rome, it was in Jerusalem, it was in all of these towns and cities and every little village, every community of people had a thronos, a court, a place of judgment to deal with those who break the law. It was a throne of judgment, or a seat of judgment, where somebody sat there and they judged you, and they actually said what's going to happen to you because of your crimes. Do you know in Revelation chapter 20, we read of another throne or seat of judgment, a throneness of judgment. And who is seated there? It is Jesus Christ. We're told at the end of time that God himself, that Christ sits in judgment of all sinners. All sinners. Only sinners are going to be there. And the Bible actually calls it, listen, Revelation 20, the great white throne. Or thronos. The great white throne. It's the same as Matthew 27, a seat of judgment. It's a seat where your sins are going to be punished, where Christ actually sits on it, and he actually opens the books. The Bible says he begins to open the books. Do you realize every sinner, books are kept on sinners upon your life? There are actually various books with every word, every action, every attitude, every motivation is written in that book. Every wrong thing you've ever done is written in that book. Spoken and unspoken, hidden in your heart, secret from everyone. Everything is written in those books. It's not lost. You can forget it. God doesn't. It's going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. And it actually says that the Lord judges every sinner out of what's written in the books. Look how careful it is. There is a careful record of all of your works. It actually says they're going to be judged out of and according to their works. In other words, all their works are recorded in this book. And God opens the books and he says, I'm judging you. You've done this. This was your attitude. This is how you lived on the earth. You lived for yourself. You wasted everything. You wasted all the opportunities. I spoke to you. I reached out to you. You used your money for yourself, your possessions. And saints, covetousness is a sin that sends you to hell. You could think you're squeaky clean. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen off anyone. But if you're covetous, you're on your way to hell because you only live for this earth. A covetous person only thinks of himself. And covetous people are going to be at this great white throne judgment. And everybody who goes there, nobody goes free. It's only sinners at that great white throne judgment. And it's not a testing or a judgment to see if they go free. No, they're all going to be condemned. There is no remission. There is no escape. There's no compassion. There's no mercy. There's no second chance. Everyone who appears at that throne is destined for the lake of fire and for judgment. You see, our courts in this land, they're doing what the church should do. The courts in Limerick. Show compassion and love and mercy. They're stealing my job. Okay? The church is not to raise the sword or punish sinners. That's not my job. That's not the job of the church. But the courts, the Garda, the legal profession should not show mercy or compassion or hope. They are to punish wrongdoing. And you know, the judgment throne of God on sinners. There's no compassion. He is going to judge righteous judgment. But saints, that natural throne in ancient Rome, in the Roman Empire, in each of those towns you would see a judgment seat. It was a picture of a future judgment seat in which all sinners are going to be judged. Criminals today stand at this throne. Or this seat of judgment. But in the hour to come, every sinner will be found at the great white throne judgment. But you know, there was another judgment in the ancient Roman Empire, and in Greece, and in Israel. It was called the Bema seat. Not only was there a throneness in every community, in that first century, there was a Bema seat, or a judgment seat. But there is a difference. This Bema seat was only found in the city of Athens, only in one place. In the entire earth, it was only in one place. And it didn't sit every day like the other judgment. It actually only convened and was only set up every 4 years. This continued for actually 1,200 years. This Bema seat was set up every 4 years without fail for 1,200 years. Then there was a long gap because the Catholic Church banned it. Then it was reinstated about 120 years ago. It started again. And since then, the Bema seat has been in operation every 4 years. What am I talking about? I am talking about the Greek Olympics. That is where you find the Bema seat. At the Greek Olympics, in the city of Athens, all the Greeks would gather, runners, boxers, fighters, the greatest athletes in every province, in every city, would gather to the city of Athens, and they would compete together, and they're promised a prize, a reward, for your boxing, your fighting, your wrestling, your throwing, your jumping. You're sprinting. All of this was going to be rewarded. It was not all Greek people. Neither was it the entire empire. It was a select group of men. So we see it was in one place.
Yeah.
It was only every 4 years, and it was only a handful of the entire population actually competed in these races. Everybody didn't join in, though they could. There was an opportunity. Do you know those athletes that actually contended there? They were separated men. They were dedicated men.
Yeah.
They committed their entire life to run one race at one of those Olympics. I'm talking about the Bema seat. I'm actually telling you what the Bema seat is, that Paul says Christ is going to sit on one day. The Bema seat. This is given to us for our learning. Do you know those Greek athletes? They're sinners. They're worldly men. They're drunkards. They're immoral men. And if you read about the Greek athletes, most of them, all of them, if they wanted to win the prize, they didn't drink alcohol. They stopped drinking alcohol. Do you know the athletes that were married? They stopped having sex with their own wife for at least 7 months leading up to that race. They denied their body. They buffeted their body. They brought their entire being under. Why? They're running for a crown. They have a prize. They want to be rewarded for all of their labors. They are looking to something future. They buffet their body. They deny themselves. They bring themselves under. They sacrifice in the realm of friendship and society and social activity and enjoyment and holidays.
Amen.
For 4 years they train and they have one goal, one focus, one thought. They're not thinking about daily enjoyment or meeting up with their friends. They're not even thinking about marriage. Most of these athletes sacrifice marriage until after the Olympics. They said there's a greater goal, there's a higher calling. And it's this athletics. Since we are to have the exact same attitude, there is a Bema seat. There is a time coming when we are all, if we're born again, gonna stand at the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Romans chapter 14, it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not talking about sinners. There's no sinners there. Not one sinner stands at that judgment seat. None. You know why? Because their life has been wasted. They haven't run. They're not going to be there going, am I going to get anything out of this? Their life isn't wasted already if they're a sinner. But every Christian is actually going to stand at the Bema seat. That's where they're going to be. It says again in 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear. In other words, every single Christian from every generation, from every culture is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know this word Bema seat was used in another place? It was used by Caesar and his generals who would set up a Bema seat at the end of a war or a battle. That's what Caesar or the generals would do. And at the end of a great war in Germany or France or somewhere else, and they would set up the Bema seat. They carried it with them. At the end of a war, they set it up and they called all their troops together and they began to reward them for their courage, their bravery, for winning victories. They rewarded them. This is what the Bema seat is. And I want you to keep that in mind. Keep in mind the Bema seat at the Olympics. What was the Bema seat? When you've run your race, when you've wrestled, when you've fought, when you've done all that you know to do, when you've trained for 4 years and then you ran your race. At the end of that, the Bema seat is where you come to where the judge sits. And the judge sits there and he's got all the athletes. And you're standing at the Bema seat and you're going, did I run the race well? Did I run good enough? Did I give it enough? Did I run it with all my strength? Did I run well? Did I run worthy of a reward? And the one sitting on the Bema seat actually hands out rewards. And usually what they handed was a crown. And it wasn't a king's crown. It wasn't a golden crown. It was a laurel wreath.
Wow.
Like you see at the Olympics. They got given a crown. And I tell you what, that laurel wreath didn't mean anything. It was nothing of itself, but it was a sign that you've run well, you trained well, you fought well, you wrestled well. Paul uses all these terms in 1 Corinthians 9. He talks about running the race. That's the Greek term for the Olympics. It's the word stadia. It means the 200 meter sprint.
Wow.
He speaks about striving for the mastery. The Greek word agonousia, which actually means training for the Olympics. That's what the word means. Agony. You go through agony. You're actually bringing your body into a place of training, hard endurance. He goes further in verse 25 and he talks about being temperate in all things. That means self-control. These are the words the athletes, the Greek athletes used. Do you know, the Greek athletes sacrificed much in order to run in these races. In verse 26, it uses the word fight. It means boxing at the Olympics. They had boxing there. And Paul is using all these terms. Wrestling, running, boxing.
Yeah.
And he's actually said, you know what? What they do in the natural, we do spiritually in the church. We do wrestle. We do fight. We do run a race. And he says in verse 25 that it's for a crown. It's the word Stephanos. It's a laurel wreath. And he gives a warning. He says, you need to beware or be careful lest you find yourself to be a castaway. That means disqualified from receiving rewards. You have no rewards. You didn't win the race. You didn't run well. You didn't train well. You didn't prepare well. You have lost the race. You get no crown. You get no reward at the Bema seat. Since I'm talking about Christians, not sinners. Sinners will lose their soul. But a Christian, a real born again Christian, a Christian living right, a Christian on their way to heaven, can lose their reward and become a castaway. Not castaway into hell, but they actually get set aside. You didn't run well. You're here, thank God, but you did not run well. And that's why Paul said, I keep my body under, I buffet it, lest I should be a castaway.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be that. Can I begin to show you here that we are actually involved in the very same thing?
Wow.
Since the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everything you do on this earth is going to be set in place at the judgment seat of Christ. There is a day of reckoning. I said to you that this is where time meets eternity. It's at the judgment seat of Christ in the future, in eternity. It's not on the earth. It's not in this lifetime. It's not in your present physical body. You and I, if we're born again, are going to stand there. And I hope all of you stand there, because if you don't, you're at the other judgment. But saints, this judgment seat, this Bema seat, is eternal. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Christ, the one who died on the cross. Christ, the one who shed his blood. Christ, the one who suffered, is going to be in the judgment seat. On that judgment seat. It belongs to Christ. He is the judge. Do you know Christ? Now he's a God of mercy. Now he's a Christ of love. Now he's one who can forgive you. Now he's one who can wash you. He's your encourager. He's your high priest. He's everything that you need. But there's a day coming, if you're born again, that Christ is going to be your judge. Do you realize that? That as a Christian, Christ one day for 1 hour and one time is going to sit as your judge. And he's going to judge you. Let's look at this very quickly tonight. First of all, I want to begin to show you what this judgment seat looks like. First of all, it's a place of resurrection. That's the first thing about the judgment seat. It's a place of resurrection. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Notice here that the judgment seat, it's only when you finish your time in your physical body that you're going to stand there. While you're in your physical body, right here now, you're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. When you actually go to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged for everything you've done in your physical body. Everyone is going to receive rewards according to what they've done in their physical body. Do you realize everything as a Christian you do in your body is going to be judged one day? Everything, your mouth, your actions, your feet, your hands, your thoughts, your emotions. Everything you've done in your physical body as a Christian on the earth, as you walk the earth, is going to come into judgment one day. It says in Luke 14:14, thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Notice with me, it's not until the resurrection of the just that you get rewarded. You will be recompensed when? At the resurrection of the just. There's a day called the resurrection when God, Christ, raises all the saints from the grave. Their physical body is reunited with their spirit if they've died. Since the judgment seat of Christ is a place of resurrection, it's where we've all been resurrected. The dead, all those who have died for 2,000 years in Christ, are going to be raised from the dead. It's a place of resurrection. And in that place, you're going to be judged on what you've done in your physical body. It says in Acts 24:15, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There is a resurrection, saints. You will not be judged until you're in your new resurrection body. First, God raises you up, gives you a new body, then he stands in judgment, and he says, let's go back and let's look at how you lived your life in your body. Saints, I wonder how you're living in your physical body. Do you realize there is a place of resurrection? After the resurrection will come the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. First of all, it's a place of resurrection. Second of all, it's a place of accountability. In Romans 14:10, it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Notice here, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to happen? Christ sits in judgment. What are we going to do? It says every one of us, all Christians, are going to give account of himself to God. One day you're going to stand before God and give account for how you've lived in the body, how you spoke, how you've acted, how you used your money. Every relationship you've ever been in, every thought, every decision, that's what's going to happen. You're actually going to stand. Saints, can I tell you, if you're born again tonight, you are going to stand face to face with Jesus. You're going to look into his face and he's going to say, son, daughter, give an account of how you lived your Christian life from the day that I saved you until the day that you breathed your last breath or were raised. He's going to say, now tell me why you done what you done. Saints, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of accountability. He says you will give account. That word account means you're going to give a full rundown of your life. You're going to compute up. You're going to add up all the facts. You're going to go back to the record of your life and begin to explain why you said that, why you did that, why you didn't give more, why you didn't sacrifice, why you kept your tithes and spent them on your own stinking self. Saints, God help the attitudes like that. We're going to be accountable. How did we live for time or eternity? Were we living for heaven or for earth? Saints, what does our life mount up for? you are going to give account. You're going to stand there and Christ is going to say, son, give account of your life. Let's review your life. Let's go through a rehearsal. Reason with me. Begin to explain. I wouldn't like to give excuses to the master on that day.
Yeah.
We're accountable for treasure stored up on earth. Are you storing up on earth when sinners are on their way to hell who haven't even received one gospel tract? Are you actually going to use all that comes into your hands to establish a work for God in this city? Or is it going to be wasted on yourself? Are all your treasures on the earth and perish? Are you going to stand there before him and say, how do you account for this? You've made heaven and yet you live for earth. You wasted everything. You didn't pour anything into my kingdom. You didn't use it to become more spiritual. You actually used it and wasted it on stupid things of the earth that didn't matter. You're going to be accountable. It's a place of accountability. Third of all, it's a place of fire. The judgment seat of Christ is a place of fire. It says that in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Paul begins speaking in 1 Corinthians 3 and he talks about he as a preacher laid the foundation, which is Christ. Christ is the only foundation for the church and in your individual life. Christ is the foundation. If you get a foundation, a building has to be built. And Paul is saying Christ is the foundation. Then listen to what he says about the building, which is your responsibility. He saves you. He shows you grace. He forgives your sins. He is the foundation. There is only one foundation. The foundation does not get tested by fire. It's the building on top of the foundation. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 3 and 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Notice here with me that the works are going to be tried by fire. It's not talking about hellfire. This is people who are born again, who have died, who are in the resurrection body. It's not talking about hellfire. It's not talking about being destroyed or punished. It's not that sort of fire. There's no purgatory. You're not going in the fire of hell. It's talking about a different type of fire. Neither is it a cleansing fire. Fire can be a symbol of cleansing and a purifying. It's not that type of fire. This fire won't make you more clean, more holy, or more pure. It's not for that. Look what the purpose of the fire is. It says to try you. To try your works. The word try there means to examine, to inspect, to scrutinize, to investigate. To look at everything you have done on this earth as a Christian in your physical body upon the earth. Christ is going to try your works. He's going to test them, examine them, to see what quality they are. What does the works look like? He said the works could be gold, silver, or precious stones, or they could be wood, hay, and stubble. Your works are either going to look like one or the other. Notice with me that he says here, that everything is going to be tested by fire. All of your works are going to be tested by fire. Fire from Christ is going to burn on everything you've said, everything you've done, every decision you made. Every relationship you've ever been is going to get tested by fire. Every penny you've made, every penny you give, all of this is going to get tested by fire. What is the fire? It's actually the action of Christ. It's his work. It's his searching of your heart. It's his character. Remember in Revelation 1, it says his eyes are eyes of fire. That's who Christ is. He is a consuming fire. He's going to stand at the judgment. He's going to be a burning fire. No man will stand before him. As he begins to burn, he's going to scrutinize everything you've done in your Christian life. He's actually going to burn with such a fire. And your life is, you're going to give account for your life. Every issue is going to come up and he goes, burnt. Burnt. Or maybe he got through and he goes, that's through. That's fine. And he's going to look at every motive, every attitude, and it's going to burn with fire. So we see it's a place of resurrection. It is a place of accountability and it's a place of fire. Fourthly, it's a place of revealing. In 1 Corinthians 3:13 it says, it shall be revealed by fire. Your works shall be revealed by fire. The word revealed there means to take the cover off, to disclose, to reveal for everybody to see. The word manifest means to make it public or visible. Since there's a day as a born again Christian, this affects my entire life. I never live free of this day. I constantly think about the judgment seat of Christ and have since I was young, and it affects your life. That there is a day in which everything is going to be revealed. You can con me. You can con people around you. You can con your family. You can con your spouse, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your children, your parents. You could actually get to your last breath having fooled everybody. But the Bible says at the judgment seat of Christ, the lid comes off. Everything's revealed. As the fire burns, it reveals everything you've done in your Christian life. Saints, if this is a serious thing, a sobering thing, how much worse for a sinner that's going to stand at the judge, at the great white judgment, without hope, without mercy? How terrifying is that day? I assure you, I know I'm not going to burn in hell. I know that I'm not going to get judged for my sins. Notice he said works, not sins. You don't stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian and you say, let's look at your sinful life. Won't say that. It's not a place of punishment. That's been done. It's not a place of purging. All of that's been done in time. It's a place of revealing. Make everything clear. Make everything transparent. Make everything visible. All through your human life or your Christian walk, things that looked okay that weren't okay, they suddenly get revealed. Christ says that was never acceptable. No, but Master, I tried my best. It's burnt. It's gone. Here tonight before I come in, I had asked the Lord, I'm in that bathroom down the corner saying, how many of my messages are going to get burnt? I'm being serious, saying, I'm actually asking, is this message tonight going to burn at the judgment seat of Christ? Every time you give something to God's work and it's with the wrong motive, he says it's burnt. Oh, I gave to God. Oh, aren't you a great fellow? I wonder what the motive is. I wonder what the attitude is. I wonder if, like the Pharisees, you say, there you get your portion. You better exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. They at least give a tenth, and they give a tenth of everything. Jesus said, your righteousness better exceed that. Or you're in trouble. Your righteousness is no righteousness if it's theirs. Notice here, that there is a revealing of hidden things. It says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. In other words, things that have been kept in the dark, they get revealed on that day. Everything that's been hidden in darkness, oh, I forget, really. Oh, I want to pretend I never done it or said it. Really? You want to ignore and keep in dark the fact that you don't witness to a sinner? That you don't do what the scripture tells you or your conscience tells you? You want to say, oh, I didn't know, I'm not responsible. That's a thing of darkness. We're talking about Christians. God help you if you're responsible for a man or woman going to hell. And I'm not talking about through neglect. Through attitudes, ignorance, rudeness. Something that you've said or done. Actually sending someone else to hell. Turning them further away from Christ. God help you. It actually says in that day that the hidden things of darkness are going to come into the light. Light, burning light is going to shine on everything. And it will make manifest the counsels of the heart. You know all the things that went on in your heart? And then you act differently outwardly. The thoughts, the counsels of the heart. Well, I could do this. I can do that. Sure, I can shortcut it. I can cut across the field. Oh, sure, it's fine. All of that is going to come out the judgment seat of Christ. It could remain covered all through the years for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And at the judgment seat, the Lord says, okay, let's get this into the light. You didn't deal with it at the Lord's table. You didn't put it right through your Christian life. You heard the preaching and you still didn't deal with it. I try to reach out to you, so I'm going to deal with you. You're here at the judgment seat. Now let's bring everything out. No excuses. Oh, but I forgot. No, you didn't at the time, though.
Yeah.
You didn't at the time. And then shall every man have praise of God. Saints, it's not only a negative, it's a positive. Do you know all the good things that you've done for the Lord? How you served Him, or how you gave Him, or how you sacrificed, or how you done some action for Him? Do you realize that all of those things are going to get rewarded? There's going to be a revealing. Saints, there's things that I have done that none of you know about, or Candace doesn't know about. And I've done it unto the Lord. Nobody on the earth knows about it. But on that day, it's suddenly going to become revealed and apparent. Does that scare you? Or does it make you rejoice and look forward with expectation? Praise God.
Yeah.
Do you know, not many people seen what I've done. But there's a day coming, Christ is going to say, look, I saw it. You have forgotten about it. I haven't forgotten about it. You don't even remember some of the things that you've done for the Lord. But I see it. I remember. And I am going to bring it out and say, look, you've done this. Man, I forgot. You actually spoke to this one. Man, I haven't thought about them for years, 30 years. You know, I found a book the other day. And it goes right back to when I was 21, haven't used it since I was 21. And I had a prayer diary. I'm praying for certain sinners. I haven't thought about them in over 20 years. But I used to pray for them, that God would save them. And that the gospel would go to them and that their hearts would be changed. I hadn't even thought about them in 20 years. And I went, man, I prayed for them and I prayed for them and I prayed for them. I can forget who I prayed for, and yet the Lord's going to remember it. What actually gets revealed? Our works get revealed. Fire is going to test every man's work. Also every man's words. Also every man's thoughts and attitude and motive. Why did you do what you done? All of this gets tested by fire. Now I've got 5 messages I can preach on that alone. But listen, point 5, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of loss. It's a place of loss. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work shall be burned. I'm talking about born again believers. I'm talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm talking about Paul and Peter and Martha and Mary. They're all going to be there. And the Christians from every generation and all those that walk with the Lord are actually going to be at the judgment seat of Christ from every nation and every generation. He says in chapter 3:15, if any man's work shall be burned. As the fire begins to burn and reveal everything you've done and you've said, how you used your house and your car and your possessions and what you gave to God, and what you supported and why you done it. Says, if any man's work shall be burned, do you realize a lot of works, a lot of things you've done is going to burn as a Christian? They're not going to be left. They're actually going to burn up. They won't even exist. He'll say, that's not getting into my heaven. That's not going to come into eternity. They were of no profit. You've done that for yourself. He said, if any man suffers his works to be burned, he shall suffer loss. Do you want to waste your actions, your decisions? Do you want to waste what you're doing in your Christian life? Saints, I'm talking about saved, those who are forgiven, redeemed, washed in the blood with the Holy Spirit in them. God help anyone outside of that. But I'm talking about people who have lived for Christ. I'm not talking about a Christian who gets drunk all the time. They're not going to be there. I'm not talking about a Christian who's covetous. They won't be there. I'm not talking about a Christian who slept around. They won't be there. They can't get into heaven. They won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. But he's talking about a Christian, the attitudes, the decisions, the choices that seem harmless. And he said, if they shall suffer loss, he says, he himself should be saved. He's born again. He's going to pass through the judgment seat of Christ. He'll be fine. He's born again. He'll have eternal life. He'll spend eternity with Christ. Yet so as by fire. In other words, you're not coming in here. You're not going to step into eternity. You're not going to enjoy all the blessings of eternity without fire. The only way you're entering into a reward is through fire. We've got to get rid of all that chaff, all that wood, all that hay, all that stubble. All of that's got to be burnt. I can't have you in my kingdom with that. All of your works have to be refined and burnt by fire. We're talking about what enters into eternity. Only gold, only silver, only that which is pure and done for God. It says in chapter 3:12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones. These things don't burn. Gold doesn't burn. You let fire burn over it, it's still gold. Do the same with silver. Do the same with precious stones. You let fire burn in those things, they will come through the fire. Do you know the gold, silver, and precious stones represent that which is heavenly, eternal, and not of this earth? These are your treasures that you're to store up in heaven. Saints, you have an opportunity now to store up treasures in heaven. How much treasure are you storing up in heaven? Are you active in storing up treasure for heaven? Because unless it's gold, silver, and precious stones, it's not going to be there in eternity. It's going to burn up. He also talks about wood, hay, stubble. What's that? It's things that can burn. They represent things of this earth that have a short lifetime, that are only for yourself in this physical body, but they're not going to be stored up in heaven. We're talking about loss. As a Christian, you can go through your entire Christian life saying, sure, I'm fine, and stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And as you gaze upon him, or should I say him gazing on you, you suffer loss. After you visit the judgment seat of Christ, you'll find you're an awful lot poorer or richer than you were before. It is at the judgment seat of Christ that time meets eternity, that everything is decided. Either you're going to be very rich or you're going to be barely in there, saved as by fire. You're there by the skin of your teeth. God saved you. You didn't do anything for him. Saints, what a waste of a life. Do you know, I'd hate to die as an old man on my deathbed. I would hate to get saved at that point. I mean, imagine Dan, and then you go in and say, oh, he saved me by his grace. I never done a thing for him. I'm glad that I've been able to live my life, that I can serve him and do something for him, and by God's grace, begin to store up treasures in heaven. Number 6, it's a place of reward. It's a place of reward, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is the main point here. Don't think it's all about loss. It's certainly not about punishment. You're not being punished. You're not. It's not a place of punishment. It's a place where the general rewards the soldiers. It's where the Olympic Commission reward the runner who's run the race, or fought the fight, or boxed, or wrestled, or threw the javelin. There is a time of actual reward. The judgment seat of Christ is a place of reward for the Christian. It's a future reward. You will never experience it on this earth. You will never experience it in your body. You will never experience it in time. Some people, and even Christians, say, where is my reward now? You're not being wise. Those who say, where's the blessing of following God? Where's the reward? Why does it not seem I'm receiving lots? Don't you realize you don't, real treasures, you don't get them on earth. Amen. You don't get them within your lifetime. Yeah. If that's what you're living for, you're going to live a very up and down life. You see, the place of real reward is not in this life. It's not in your body. It's heavenly, eternal, invisible, and it's future. It says in Luke 14:14, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You're going to be rewarded. It says in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels. And notice this, when the Son of Man comes, when he returns again to the earth, when he comes with all his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. Saints, Christ is coming again with rewards. He's actually going to return and he's going to reward the Christian. He's going to reward the sinner by punishing them and putting them in hell. But the Christian who followed him, who lived for him, who came out of the world, is going to receive a reward. Saints, I'm not going to receive that on earth or in time. When Christ comes, he's coming carrying rewards. That's why I'm looking for his return. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Yeah, that's why I'm one of those who want to hasten his coming. Yeah. Looking for him, laboring for him, loving him. Do you actually love the coming of the Lord? Because there's an actual crown for those who love his appearing or his coming. There's actually a reward for it. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:14, he shall receive a reward. That word reward means wages, payment. Do you realize this is a payday? Saints, I'm not going to get it here. I'm not going to get it next year. I'm not going to get it in 5 years' time. I'm not going to get it when I come to 70 and I've been preaching for years and laboring. I'm not going to get it. Do you realize the judgment seat of Christ is my payday? Hallelujah. Do you realize I'm going to receive my reward for every sermon preached, all my labor, all my giving, everything that I've helped someone with, it's going to get rewarded on that day?
Hallelujah.
It is payday. Have you given someone a cup of cold water? It's going to be rewarded. Have you received a prophet in the name of a prophet? You're going to be rewarded. Did you acknowledge a true shepherd of God's sheep as a true shepherd? You're going to be rewarded. Did you go and visit a genuine Christian in prison? You're going to be rewarded. Notice it doesn't say anyone in prison. It's someone who's a believer. In Revelation 22 and 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I want to reward you, saints. The Lord is coming back to reward his saints. You're going to suffer here. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be hurt in this lifetime. You may get offended. You may lose. You may die in poverty. Financial poverty. Remember, the poor man, the rich man, Lazarus. Remember he died poverty-stricken, lying at the gate of the rich man. He had nothing. But you know what? He immediately went to his reward.
Yeah.
Do you realize, no matter what happens in this life, I don't care if your back's covered in scars. I don't care if the heart's been ripped out of you. I don't care if your family turns against you. I don't care if the entire of Limerick City stones you. This is not your hour of reward. I live for that hour. When I hear from the words, the lips of Christ, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the earth. Since I'm living for this, this is a reality. That's why I'm storing my treasures up in heaven. My gold, my silver, my precious stones. That's why I'm watching over my house, my possessions, my relationships, my attitude. There's no unforgiveness in this heart. No bitterness. No anger against any man. No resentfulness. There's nothing I have to put right with any individual on the face of this earth. There's no money I need to pay back to someone I stole from. There's no lie I need to go and put right. You remember Moses, it says that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Do you know what that means? It means, look at it, he had respect, Moses. Why did Moses forsake Egypt and go out into that wilderness with his eyes on Christ? Why did he do it? He had respect. That's why he forsook Egypt. All its wealth, its titles, its popularity, its comfort. Why did he reject that and walk out into a hot desert for 40 years? Why did he do it? What made him? It says he had respect. That word respect's very important. It means to look away from everything else and set your eyes earnestly on Christ. He looked away from everything of Egypt, of this world, of the shortness of his life. He looked away from it all and he set his eyes earnestly upon Christ who was invisible. And it says, unto the recompense of the reward. Moses looked to the reward. Do you know we're meant to look for reward? Saints, I'm looking for a crown of gold. I am looking to be rewarded. I'm not going through suffering in Limerick for no reason. I'm not enduring suffering because I enjoy it. I'm not standing on compromising and losing friends for no reason. I am actually wise in that I look to heaven, look to eternity, and I say there is a rewarding day. I'm not doing this cheaply. Since I am storing up riches and I'm reminding the Lord, Lord, there's a day I'm coming for my reward. I don't have it here. It isn't coming to me and I don't mind. All sorts of things have happened. You know the scripture says that the Lord is not unmindful of your labor of love, of the things you've done. He will not forget it. Let me give you one last point here about the judgment seat. It's a place of justice. It's a place of justice. Luke chapter 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you or mock you and cast you out and make your name evil for the Son of Man's sake. Look what it says. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Very few Christians do that. Oh, brilliant. I'm rejected. I'm being hurt. I'm being mocked. Let's jump for joy like Jesus commanded. Listen, why? If you see this, it could change your entire life. When men scar your back, you would jump for joy. How can you have that attitude? This is how. Listen to what Christ says. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto the prophet. If you're living for Christ and suffering for it, your reward is great in heaven. You won't get it here. Don't look for the reward here. Turn your eyes on Jesus to heaven, to eternity, and say, I am looking for an eternal reward. I'm going to walk through hot deserts. I'm going to fight demons. I'm going to be stoned. I'm going to be left for half dead. I'm going to go through many things. I didn't have all the money I wanted. Couldn't do all the things I desired. Why? Because I'm following God. Some of you here could be rich in the world. Why are you not? Because you're in here. Isn't that right? I'm telling you. I'm telling you the facts. You could be out there in the world doing. You wouldn't need to worry about your finance. But why are you here? You're seeking for a city. An eternal city that has foundation, whose builder is God. You see, when all these things happen to you in life, great is your reward in heaven. Then Romans 14:10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Christ is speaking to Christians. He's saying, why are you judging? Why are you looking at their life? Why are you criticizing them? Why are you pointing a finger? Why are you sitting in judgment of them? Of what they do? How they raise their children? what they do with their money. Why are you sitting in judgment of them? If the person is a brother, a Christian, why are you judging them? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? You think nothing of him, you set him at nothing. He's nothing. He's born again. And you're treating him like he's nothing. Why? Because he said or done something you don't like. And you set him at naught. And listen, why? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You need to remember here tonight that you better be very careful with every other Christian. Judging them, how you treat them, how you think about them, what you say about them. Because you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he will judge you as you have judged them. To the merciful, he'll show mercy. To those who forgive, he'll show you forgiveness. If you give grace to others, he will judge you. Can I tell you tonight how you're going to be judged? Can I show you what the line is? You are the line. How you judge others is how you're going to be judged. How you judge them and their actions and their attitude. You judge without evidence, he'll judge you without evidence. Yeah. How you judge other people's actions is how he is going to judge you. It's a boomerang. Judgment is a boomerang. How you're judging others is going to hit you smack on the back of the head. I'm talking about a Christian. Amen. You're very hard on other Christians. He's going to be very hard on you. You go lightly on yourself. Oh, I'm under grace. You need to be very careful. But saints, here's an encouragement as we close. Has a Christian hurt you? I mean a born again Christian. Has a Christian lied on you? Has a Christian manipulated you? Has a Christian deserted you in your time of need? Do you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't get bitter. Don't get hurt. Don't try to take revenge. You know why? It's going to get sorted at the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone who does anything against you that is wrong, if they steal from you, if they mock you, if they hurt you, leave it alone. Amen. Leave it in the hands of God. And believe me, if someone rams your car, take them to court you're meant to. Do you understand what I'm saying? If someone crashes into my car, I'm going to use the courts, the law. But if a man in the church hurts me, do you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not bitter. That's why I'm not bitter tonight. That's why I've had so many things happen to me. And I told you of a leader in this city stealing €100,000 from us. You know, dog time, I want to go burn their building down. But do you know what? My heart is free. And do you know what? I don't need to deal with that. Christ is going to deal with that. There's going to be a judgment hour. And they are going to stand before the Lord. I'm quite happy for that. Those who falsely accuse me, I'll wait it out. I don't care if I never get justified, never get vindicated, never get rewarded. I'm not even looking for it. Or should I say, I am looking for it. But it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Saints, that's why I have the heart I do, the actions, the attitudes, the works that I do. Why? It's because I'm going, there's a judgment seat. I'm going to be rewarded for everything I've done. I'm not looking at for here. I'm not looking at it from you. I'm not looking for it from this city. If this city scourged me, burnt me out, and done 1,000 other things, if every Christian in this city hurt me, I'm still going to be here because my reward is being stored in heaven. I'll never see it over the next few years, but I'm quite happy to wait. I'm a patient man. I'm a long-suffering man. I'm going to endure. I'm going to keep walking because one day very soon, when I see Christ, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in." And I want to tell you, here is your eternal reward that no man can steal, no moth can eat. No rust is going to touch this reward that I'm going to give to you. You're going to have it eternally. It's not going to suffer loss. Please stand with me. Let's just pray unto the Lord here. Let's search our hearts tonight. There is a judgment seat that you are going to face one day, very soon. Saints, we're all going there. You're either in this room tonight, either you're facing the great white throne judgment in which sinners will be cast into hell, or you are looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ when you'll be rewarded for your Christian life, the sacrifice coming out from the world. shunning sexual relationships in this city, in separating yourself from the Lord, all of that is going to be rewarded. But saints, it's on a particular day called the judgment seat of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.